We wish for everyone today who are mothers and grandmothers, great-grandmothers, a happy Mother's Day. We're glad not only on this occasion for it to be the Lord's Day that we weekly celebrate, but also one in which we honor you, and rightfully so. The home, of course, is so significant, so important. And mothers, fathers play a central role in the strength of both our nation and the church. And we honor you and we thank God for you. One day a little girl noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Mother replied, "Well, every time you do something wrong or make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turned white." The little girl thought about what she had said for a moment and then replied, "Well, Mama, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Children are smart. 4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a house plant for Mother's Day. They'd used their own money to purchase it, and she was thrilled. 6-year-old, with a sad face, said there was an arrangement at the flower shop that we wanted to give to you. It was really pretty, but it cost too much. It had a ribbon on it that said, "Rest in peace." "We thought you would like it because you're always asking for a little peace so you can rest." Well, it's the thought that counts. On Mother's Day, the smell of bacon and eggs cooking drifted up from the kitchen to her bedroom. Mother was waiting to be served in bed. But no one came up with the food, so she went downstairs to find her 2 children eating the bacon and eggs. And when they saw her, they said, to explain why they were doing it, "Since it's Mother's Day, we decided to cook our own breakfast." One of our own came in just a moment ago. I won't say exactly who they are, but it's the Rogers family. 2 of their grandchildren served their mother this morning. Bits of granola bar and cheese curls. And they explained that they didn't cook bacon and eggs because they needed an adult with them to do that. First time the word mother occurs in Scripture is found in Genesis 3:20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That word mother occurs 236 times in the NIV, in the Bible, 152 times in the Old Testament, and 85 times in the New. Our English dictionaries define the word mother as a woman who gives birth to a child and or a woman who adopts a child. Or a woman who raises a child. It's a good definition for mother. The moment a child is born, a mother is also born. She never existed before. The woman existed, but the mother did not. A mother is something new, like the child. Motherhood is about having and raising children. It carries with it indescribable joy and heart-rending sorrows. Only a mother knows and understands the truth of these words. It was the Apostle Peter who referred to the wife as the weaker vessel in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. We often pause at that wording and wonder just what Peter meant by it. One author said that he did not necessarily mean, of course, that it is a feeble capacity that he was referring, or inferior in some way. That's not what he had in mind. but that she is more tender and delicate, and therefore should be treated and regarded with special kindness and attention. I love that expression by Albert Barnes. In honor of our mothers today, I'd like to tell you why, as children, we ought to obey our mothers. Amen. Honor is not the same as obey, though they're related, used side by side or one after the other in the reading this morning in Ephesians 6. Paul, in borrowing from one of the Ten Commandments, said that you should honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the land which God will give you. But he first said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He first said, children, obey, and then he said, and following it up, honor your father and your mother. There's really nothing more wrong or out of place for a child to be disrespectful and disobedient to their parents. A child will never fully understand the hurt that he inflicts upon his mother by an uncooperative attitude and a sullen behavior. Modern American children often sin against their parents by their disobedience, and to make it worse, they think it's cool and somehow acceptable to behave like that. But there is nothing more disgraceful and more shameful than that behavior. We've lost the meaning of the word honor as is taught in Scripture. Our cultures from the East and West differ in its expressions of it, and we have a very weak display of it in American culture. We have replaced it with a mushy kind of behavior that is nothing akin to love. Love without honor is not love, and honor without love is not true honor. It is self-centeredness. Love that has lost the elements of respect and obedience and integrity is not true love. It is love without a spine, love without a backbone. Honor void of love is nothing more than selfish pride, as is often demonstrated by the Eastern culture. Honor refers to something that is weighty in society, something important. Paul said it this way, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. By putting those two thoughts together, eternal weight and glory or honor, he's really defining what honor is. It's weighty. It's a person who has serious responsibilities in society, like government officials, like policemen, teachers, leaders in our society, parents. Weight of glory is how Paul wanted to express that which was honorable. Therefore, because they have these responsible duties, they should be honored. Old Eli in the scriptures was a heavy man. Morally, he was weak, because he did not restrain his sons from their doing evil. 1 Samuel 3:13 says so. And when Ichabod, his grandson, was born, he died. And Ichabod means loss of glory. When Eli heard the news of the Philistines' victory and their taking the Ark of the Covenant from Israel, he fell off of his seat backward and broke his neck. He was a weighty man, literally. Symbolically, he was weighty because he judged Israel for 40 years, but he was dishonored by his sons and by his own lack of strength in his moral character. You should listen to your parents. You should obey your mothers, number one, because you do so to honor her. You should obey them because your mother desires only the best for you. I believe that I speak here generally of by far the majority of all mothers, though there are exceptions to it. There are a few exceptions where mothers seemingly don't care, don't understand their particular role and responsibility to children. But the majority of all that I have ever known, and perhaps that you have known as well, desire only the best for their children. They will sacrifice themselves even unto death in order for good to come to their children. I want to give you some examples rather quickly. Two women were brought before King Solomon. Both had given birth to children. One died during the night because the woman overlaid her child. She switched the dead and the living so that she would have the living. Solomon, therefore, had a difficult case before him as judge to determine the mother of the child. When he proposed cutting the child in two and giving it half to each of the parents, the real mother cried out. She was willing to give up her child for the other mother to have, though a harlot, so that it would be better for her child. I think of Moses' mother hiding Moses in a basket rather than obeying the Pharaoh to have the little children killed. Or Lois and Eunice, a grandmother and a mother, who taught their son and grandson the scriptures from childhood. I think of a Syrophoenician mother who pleaded with the apostles first and then Jesus for her daughter to be healed. But the disciples rebuked her, told her to go her way. The daughter was vexed with demons, but she would not give up easily. She kept pleading even until meeting Jesus and for him healing her daughter. This is the nature of mothers exemplified in scriptures. Others fled after Jesus was beaten, taken from them, and nailed to a cross. But at the foot of the cross stood Mary, his mother, and some supportive women who loved her. Though misguided in their efforts, the mother of James and John wanted positions of power in the kingdom that they thought Jesus was going to establish. They misunderstood, but yet what they wanted was something that was good for her sons. You should obey your parents because your parents want only what is the very best for you. You should obey your parents because your mothers have earned the right to be heard. Mothers exemplify, it seems to me, even more than fathers, what servant leadership is. Everyone in a position of leadership should practice what mothers do with their children. You ever seen it on television where they zoom in on a rather large football player sitting on the sideline, and he recognizes that he's on the camera and he says, "Hi, Dad." No. He says, "Hi, Mom." Almost every time. Here's this rather rough and tough young man who has grown to adulthood, and what he thinks of almost immediately is his mother. Why do children, why do grown men like that respond so favorably to their mothers? I believe the answer lies in this understanding, that mothers sacrifice so much, so personally for their children. They literally go near to the doors of death in giving birth, and then they spend their years day by day caring for the newborn child. Children know that their mothers love them because it has been shown on a daily basis. Mothers lead a family so well because they lead from a position of service. I believe that we have yet to learn for most people. You want to lead others? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then you must be the servant, Jesus taught in Matthew 20. Those who seek positions of power in God's kingdom seek something they do not understand. Influence and power comes from love and service, not by dominance, not by lording it over, not by authority. Your authority lies in the relationship you have with others and in a servant relationship. Everyone who seeks to influence others for good must remember this principle, or their leadership will be rejected. By following the instructions of your father and mother, it will be like wearing jewels around your neck and an ornament on your head. The wise man said in Proverbs 1, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck." And finally, you should obey your mother because one day you will mourn deeply for her. Life changes dramatically when you lose both your father and your mother, but especially when you lose your mother. I remember in Mississippi when I lost mine, both father and mother. On the occasion of losing the last, I remember the presentation that Sunday morning was on losing both parents. Life changes. They're no longer there. You desire to call them and to talk to them, and yet you cannot. David responded with sensitivity over the opposition of his enemies. He had a tender heart, and he could not understand their hatred of him. So he wrote this, "I behave myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed myself down heavily as one that mourns for his mother." Proverbs 35, verse 14. There it is. "I bowed myself down as one who mourns for his mother." Isaac had elderly parents when he was born. Abraham was 100. His mother was 90. They greatly loved their promised son and waited a long time for his arrival. Isaac was 37 when his mother Sarah died. 3 years later, he married Rebekah, the beautiful Rebekah. The Bible says this concerning their being joined together. Isaac brought her into his mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. He loved her. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Those are the terse words of Genesis 24, verse 67. What did they say? They actually say between the lines that Isaac mourned for his mother for 3 years. And only after that 3-year period would he accept a woman to be his wife. Upon Rebekah being brought from the homeland back from their kinsmen, he carried her into his mother's tent where she lived. And Rebekah became his wife. If the child dies first, there is one upon whom you can count to be nearby. Some deny the resurrection of Jesus. By giving some story about what might explain what happened to his body, and this is what they say. One of them came up with the idea, these liberals denying the resurrection of Christ, that there was a problem of the mistaken identity of the tomb. What does that mean? It means, well, they laid the body of Jesus somewhere in a tomb, but they just forgot where it was and never found it. You know, that is so preposterous. It's not even worthy, really, of comment. And here's why. At the foot of the cross stood his mother Mary. For a moment, do you think that a mother would forget where her son was laid? Do you think for a moment that she would not remember where they took his body? It's a ridiculous notion that here they would not know where they laid the body of Christ. Mary would. Jesus said this about Jerusalem. He pronounced a great woe upon them and a condemnation because of their behavior. It would be 40 years after these words that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And he said, in crying out over that great nation, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I sent prophets unto you, but you rejected them." He said, "I would have gathered you together as a hen, a mother, gathers her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is left desolate unto you." Jesus is here describing a mother and how protected they are and how she would gather together as a hen would the chickens under her wings for protection. And he said, "I would have done that for you. I would have gathered you together even after all of your rejection through the centuries if you would but have heard, if you would but have listened." The Bible refers to God also not only as Father but as Mother. And in doing so, he picks up those attributes and says that I will be to you that way as well, and that I will love you. There are other reasons, but I believe these to be prominent about why you should be obedient to your mothers. There aren't many commandments given in Scripture to children. Most are to adults. This children are commanded to do. To obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It didn't say, if you could point out some inconsistency in their lives, you have the right to disobey them. Didn't say that. It said you should obey your parents, for this is right. And you should honor your father and mother, because it is the first commandment with promise. Do you know it's possible to obey your parents without honoring them? It's possible to just do what they said, but with a sullen attitude. That doesn't honor them. But if you honor your parents, you will obey them. That's the reason Paul commanded both. Both are essential. Both are important. We honor our parents today, our mothers. May God bless you richly. And may God help us to treat them with honor. While together, we stand and sing. Kneel at the cross.